As usual, I'm going to step back a quarter or third of the way into last week, do a quick review. So we're studying faith this quarter. Hebrews 11, 1 through 3 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible." All right, so Hebrews 11, 3 gives us a scriptural definition of faith. We're familiar with and believe the evidence and have knowledge of the priorities of God. That's where our faith starts. We have a belief. But it also starts giving us the foundation for a spiritual understanding. We also talked about faith requiring action. James 2, 18, 19, 20, 24 talks about and compares faith versus works. The point here is that faith is more than a simple belief. It's an active trust. It's not stagnant. It's not, coming from a denominational world many, many years ago, I still remember that, faith was just a good feeling. We really didn't do anything with it. It's an active trust in the future God has assured us. Faith is something we can add to and strengthen, 2 Peter 1 through 5, or 1 in chapter 1, verse 5. And upon faith, then, we've established that you can build trust, you can create courage, and you can dispel fear. All of this lays the groundwork for a love that is perfect and complete. And we see God's love for us all around us. We see His creation, we see His care for us. We see it. We talked about the storms that we endure. We see God's hand in those and the learning and the teaching and the care that He has for us, His guidance and His plan for us. And God tells us what it means to love Him. So we have faith. All of that's great. We've built all of these things. We're developing love. But how do we show that love to God?
If you love me, you will keep my commandments.
John 14, 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Thank you, Wyatt. So the point I'm making here is that there is a direct connection between faith in God, loving God, and obeying God. It's all part of the same package there. We show our faith and our love by obeying God. And through His obedience, then, we begin to become more like God. We try to become more godlike. We try to emulate Jesus, emulate God and His characteristics. That spiritual understanding that we've started to develop, we try to put that into action. We try to put that into our lives. Faith then starts to change us and causes us to put on the new man. So Colossians 3:10, and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who created him. Okay, so with all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. We're putting on the new man who is renewed in knowledge, but it's not just the knowledge. It's according to the image of Him who created him. And who is that? That's God. So our faith should be driving us with our newfound knowledge, with the things that we've built, to be more like God. Ephesians 4:24, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. We should be seeking righteousness and holiness. That is the new man, that is the new creature that God wants us to be. So, we're in 2025 now. This was written way back, wasn't it? David, you and Linda remember, I think, when it first came out. It was on the bestseller list at one time. You thought you was going to get away without seeing it, didn't you? 2 Peter 1, 5. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness love. That's where we start putting on the new man. And we've come back to this verse just about every class. What does that mean to us? Okay, we're going to try to develop these qualities. My activities are going to be more virtuous. I'm going to strive for more knowledge. I'm going to continue to study the Word. Yes, Ed?
Context, 2 Peter 1, starting verse 3, and His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him. And then verse 4, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. I think it says the same thing you're saying.
Yeah.
The divine nature is to be Christ-like. And all of this
are the things that He's telling us to be Christ-like, to have that divine nature. It's not a recipe. You don't do one after the other after the other. It all happens simultaneously, sequential, but it's the things that we focus on. We're trying to develop those qualities. To be more virtuous, to strive for more knowledge, to develop self-control. As a sinner from the world, that is one of the hardest things, because the devil puts sin out there for a reason. He puts it out there to separate us from God. And if we don't have the self-control to deny those temptations, we're going to fall right in his trap. I will learn patience. Who's he talking about there? What kind of patience is he talking about? Patience for one another, because we're working towards love. What about patience with yourself? Through my journey so far, there's been nothing more disheartening to me than to foul up. And beat up on myself and think about how, why can't I do this? Why am I not getting there? What is there something inherently just evil about me that I can't get it? We have to have patience with ourselves. As we go through the things in 2 Peter 1, 5, have patience with yourself. Understand that we're gonna foul up. We're going to step back every once in a while. But we always can get over that with the knowledge that's in God's Word, developing that self-control, and searching for that divine nature. Because godliness is my goal. I'm going to try to show kindness to all. And in all things, I'll show a spirit of love. All right, so the question is, that's kind of the high level, okay? These are the things I'm striving for. What does that look like? Especially in 2025 with all the evil going on around us. Well, the Bible tells us that also. There are specific sins to avoid. These things are inherently sinful. They've always been sinful. They're going to be sinful tomorrow. They were sinful yesterday. God didn't like them in the Old Testament, and He doesn't like them today, and these things will keep us separated from God. Colossians 3, verse 5, and then verse 8 and 9 says, verse 5 says, therefore put to death your members which are on earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. God doesn't like these things. They're not good for us. God loves us. He has a plan for us. He cares for us. These things are not good for us. God tells us, if I love Him, I will obey Him. If I put these things out of my life, I become more Christ-like. I become more of a divine nature. I'm not going to read all of them, because it really starts to get the class headed in a negative direction. But if you don't believe Colossians 3, 5, verses 8 or 9, but now you yourself are to put off all these. anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. Okay, we're gonna put on the new man. That inherently means we got to get rid of the old man. Okay? Galatians 5, 19 through 21, 1 Corinthians 5, 11, 6, 9, 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. You can review those. It says it's the same thing. These are the things that God hates. So in general, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 22 says, abstain from every form of evil. If you're confused on what to do or what not to do, abstain from every form of evil. All right? And I said these are negative things. These are the things to get out of your life. These are the things that you have to have self-control for. These are the things that you have to have patience for. Put these things out of your life. Is it all negative? Is serving God all negative? No, I got two or three no's. Serving God is the most wonderful thing that we can do in our life. For ourselves, much less if we're being selfish and just thinking about me. Serving God is the most selfish thing I can do because that's the best thing for me in my life. What are the positive things that faith encourages us to add then? And I put this statement up here. Hang on, wait, just a second. This is not by compulsion. The things that we saw on the last slide, these are not the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not. We do these things. We start off doing them because God tells us to. But we get to the point where we do these things because we love God and we want to be like Him. Okay? What?
Virtue, knowledge, self-control, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, love. In 1 John 5, 3, which I think alludes back to John 14, 15, says, quote, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome." In other words, it's not that hard to do.
That's right. God doesn't give us things that are impossible for us to do. That's a good comment, Wyatt, and I had that in a previous version, and I was afraid it was getting too long. The commandments that God gives us are not burdensome. But even then, whether they're burdensome or not, we get to the point in our faith that we're not just doing them because God told us to. We're obeying God because we love Him. That's why we're obeying God. That we have reached the point where, and I'm trying to take us down this road here, this journey, we've reached the point in our faith where it's not just the knowledge that we're not supposed to do this, it's our love for God that causes us to do this. J.D.?
Sense in which God's commandments are not burdensome. They can be extremely hard. They can be the hardest choice we have to make, the most difficult thing to do, but they are not a burden. They're not weighing on us like sin and guilt do. They're a joy and a hope.
Yes, it's not all easy. God's going to put us through storms. How do you think Abraham felt when he said to take his only son that he had waited forever for up on the mountain and sacrifice him? How do you think Abraham felt? I'm telling y'all, I'm not sure I could do that. Well, a couple of them I could. But you know, there's no way I could take Jacob up on a mountain and sacrifice him. There's no way I could do it. I couldn't take one of my grandchildren. I just couldn't do that. But Abraham had the faith that if he did what God said he would do, that it was going to be part of God's plan. He knew that God had the ability, I'm sure he knew God had the ability, that if he sacrificed him, that he would raise him back up, because he had faith in God's promise that through his seed, there was going to be a great nation. I saw a hand that I missed. Yes, ma'am.
You've got to be open. And for instance, like the song leading the songs this morning.
Hang on, I'm sorry, baby.
You have to be open. And like the
open.
Songs this morning.
Yeah.
Be patient and just let God talk to you and listen to him. Just read the words that are on the songs. He's talking to you.
And you're exactly right. And I'm going to get to that in the next slide. Not songs specifically, but having that relationship with God. Where does all of this drive us to? Keith?
I don't believe God would test you like he did Abraham. And here's my thought. God was teaching Abraham. God would use a different method to teach you the same lesson. See, when we turn to God, we use a word that we do not like, submission, because we believe in freedom, blowing up the fireworks, and having that big old barbecue. We like that freedom. But no, submission is freedom. It's Aggie football. If I'm going to be a player, it doesn't matter, offense, defense, special teams, they give me a playbook so I can work as a team, so I can function and complete a goal together. It's submission. Whether you want to admit to it or not, it's submission. And submitting to a better plan, a better thing, is not slavery. People like to say submission is slavery or being a servant. Yeah, it's being a servant, but it's working towards your own betterment. And so when we look at this change, it's from the teachings that, as it said in Ephesians 4 earlier in verse 20 and 21, it's what Jesus taught us. And it's out of our love that we decide to change, because we saw that we did not love the old man of sin. We saw where that was a dead-end road.
Yeah, and to back up a little bit, where I said doing these things from a totally selfish aspect, just thinking about myself, this is the best thing for me, it's exactly that. God's love for us, he's not going to ask us to do something that is going to take our soul away from us. Okay? We've had discussions in a couple of classes before about loving your other man and the ultimate sacrifice, and you know, why some people in wartime will, you know, sacrifice themselves for the rest of the platoon, or you know, why did Jesus Christ die on the cross such a horrible, ugly death for me? You know, those things. God hasn't asked me to do anything like that. All he's asked me to do is to love him by obeying his commandments. He's put me through some storms. He's helped my faith grow by getting me through those storms. But he hasn't asked me to do anything like he asked his own son to do. He hasn't asked me to do anything like he's asked Abraham to do. He hadn't asked me, and there's a number of veterans here. I was in the military, but you know, I was safe at the base all the time. He didn't ask me to have to throw my body over a grenade for the love of my brethren in the foxhole. I haven't been asked those things. I don't think many of us sitting in this room have been asked those sort of things. But what we've been asked to do is, if we love God, then we obey his commandments.
I don't know where you're going to get a passage about throwing your body on a hand grenade, but I'm going to tell you this, that yes, he did ask us that. What's the greatest commandment? Love God with your whole heart, body, and soul. What's the second? your neighbor also. That is what is throwing your body on. It's living. God sent his son down here to teach us, and he lived it. He showed it.
John, he tells us, I give you a new commandment. Not to love each other. Not the greatest commandment is love God, and the second commandment is love yourself. He says, I give you a new commandment for you to love your neighbor as I have loved you. Okay? I can't do the things that Jesus Christ did. I can't perform miracles. All I can do is from my level, and I can't control you and I can't control y'all. But what I can do is develop faith strong enough that I get past the I shout and I shout not. And I get past what can I do or what can't I do? What should I do? Okay, it's not about I'm not supposed to go out drinking. It's that I don't want to drink. I don't want to go out drinking. I don't want to go out partying and doing the things that the world does. Because I love God, I'm obeying his commandments, and I want to be more Christ-like. I want to develop that divine nature. All right? If we're raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. That's exactly what I'm trying to say here. That's where Christ is at. He's sitting at the right hand of God. Set our minds on things above, not on things on earth. Okay? Put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Okay, we looked at this verse a little while ago, and my focus was kind of on the renewing, the new man being renewed in knowledge. But that verse also says, according to the image of him who created him. Okay? We want to be more Christ-like. We want to develop that divine nature. That is a progression of faith. Faith is not just the simple act of believing that God sent his son for us. He died on the cross. He was raised after 3 days. And if we believe him, are baptized, and repent of our sins, that we'll join him in heaven. That is faith. That is what we believe. But what I'm trying to get across this quarter is that faith is more than that. It's deeper than that. It's actionable. Did I see a hand?
In this discussion about God's commandments and their value to us, in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 9, it says, furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good. That's what I was looking for. But then the next phrase is, so that we may share his holiness, so that we become like him.
I don't have that verse. What verse was that?
9 and 10. And verse 11, all discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful but sorrowful, yet to those who have been trained by it afterwards, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness.
Okay.
I don't have that verse. But Titus 2, 11 and 12 says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. That's what we have faith in. Okay, that's our basic. That's what we believe. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. Okay, this is how we should act. This is 2 Peter 1, 5. And 1 Corinthians 3 says, in verse 16, 17, do you not know that you are the temple of God? And that the Spirit of God dwells in you. If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Do you not know that you are the temple of God? That is where God wants us to get to. I believe, along with your verse, I believe that's what God is telling us here. He wants us to live holy. 1 Peter 1:16 says, be holy because I am holy. All right? If we're to be the temple of God, what belongs in that? Things that are Christ-like, things that are holy, things that are of the divine nature. What doesn't belong in that? All of the things on the negative slide. All right, Hebrews 11:6. This is just I just want to back up a minute because I'm saying all of this about pleasing God. I'm saying all of this about putting on the new man. What does that have to do with faith? So let's tie it back to faith. Just one more quick review. Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please him. Okay? If I'm going to obey God, if I'm going to please God, if I'm going to love God, if I'm going to keep his commandments, it's got to start with faith. It's got to start with my faith, and it's got to start with building that in myself, making faith an action instead of just a feel-good feeling. That faith tells us that we believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Love him and obey him. There's two elements. Believe that he is. That's the faith part. And seeking him. It's got to be actionable. Yes, sir.
Seeking him requires us to do is to be socially unacceptable sometimes. And you consider the woman who touched the hem of his garment and how really socially unacceptable that would have been. Also Zacchaeus, you know, just that willingness to pursue him in spite of how you're viewed by other people.
Yes, and those are the things that he asks us to do, that it's not like we're hanging ourselves on a cross, but we are, to Keith's point. We are, because we are separating ourselves from the world. We are putting on that divine nature. We are becoming holy. And the point of the lesson, there's lots of things that drive that, okay? But in my study, the root of that is our faith. I am not going to get at odds with everybody at work by not going out with them after work and having a few, or I'm not going to participate in their lewd jokes anymore, because that was the old man, now I'm the new man. I'm not going to do those things anymore. I am going to separate myself. That is hard enough. And God's not going, wherever Wyatt went, God is not going to ask me to do that if he hasn't, number one, if he doesn't know that I can do it, and number two, if he hasn't equipped me. He's given me, he says, add to your faith virtue. You got to want it. You got to want to do that. Add to your virtue knowledge. He gives us the tools to do what he wants us to do. Good comment. Thank you. So from Hebrews 11:6, God rewards those seeking him. Our faith tells us that he is our God. He will do what he says. He tells us what that reward is going to be. He doesn't just say, hey, do these things and I'll make it good for you. He tells us that we will be with him in heaven, and all of this bad stuff that we put up with will be gone. I've got this verse, and I'll go with that verse a little bit later. The action from faith is diligently seeking him. We obey him because we love him and we want to be like him. Okay, we're past the self-control and the patience, and we're now building our faith to the point where that perfect love for God that we talked about a couple of weeks ago, that perfect love causes us to want to obey Him because we want to be like Him. Okay? That doesn't mean that once we think we get to this point, that we're scot-free. No, we're going to slip. We're going to be like the Israelites. We're going to get up here on this peak, and we're going to start thinking good of ourselves and comfortable, and whoop, boy, I messed up today. That guy in the traffic really made me mad. Or my neighbor really made me mad, or I'm going to see somebody on the road, maybe have a lewd thought that I shouldn't have. I'm going to slip back if I let my guard down. But the next peak is going to be higher, and the next peak is going to be higher. That's what I'm striving for. I'm striving to be more godly. Okay, so part of the point of that is if we're wanting to be holy, we just don't declare ourselves holy, okay? I can recite 2 Peter 1:5. I've added to my faith virtue, okay? I can quote you, tell me a verse, and I'll quote it to you. I know everything the Bible says. Now I've got messed myself up. To knowledge, self-control, you know, there's nothing out there that can tempt me anymore. We get kind of arrogant. Remember that we can't get to the point where we decide that we're holy. Okay? It ain't me. It's about God, and it's about pleasing Him and being more like Him. We have to have a catalyst for wanting to be like Him, okay? And that's faith. Faith and wanting to please God becomes our catalyst for wanting to be like Him. And that is our catalyst instead of... looking for my word here. It's not compulsion, what I'm trying to say. God isn't forcing us to do any of this. Okay? He made us free moral agents. But I am to the point in building my faith, adding to my faith virtue, to my virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control. I'm at the point there now where I get that part. And I want to please God, I love God, I want to please Him, I do that by obeying Him. When I obey Him, I am going to become more like Him. And Debbie, you talked about this with the songs a minute ago. What is that connection to God? And I'm running out of time, or running out of material here a little bit. And I don't have all this prepared. This was going to be next week. But what is that connection to God now? Okay? The first thing it is through prayer. That is how we're going to develop that one-on-one relationship with God. Revelations 21:3. Revelations 21:3 says, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and their God." That's two little half pages from the very end in my Bible. God's getting to the point where, or God wants us to get to the point where we think of Him as our God. And He will be our people. You go back to the Old Testament, over and over, that scripture is in there. I will be their God, and you will be my people. you follow these commandments, and I will be your God, and you will be my people. He told the Israelites that over and over. That's God's unchanging. That's where he wants us to be. He wants us to look at him as our God and everything that that means. We want to please him. We love him. We want to please him. We want to be like him. And he gives us the tools to do that. What does this do? When we get into prayer a little bit next week, what does that do? What does having that one-on-one relationship with him that we've built to now? That strengthens my faith. It strengthens my trust. It strengthens my courage. It dispels my fear. And it makes me love him even more. And when I love him even more, what does that do? That strengthens my faith. It strengthens my trust. It strengthens my courage. It dispels my fears. What makes me want to be even more like him? And I know I can't be. Okay, I know that I'm not going to be God. I am not ever going to be as perfect as Jesus Christ. But if I fail, I have faith that God will forgive me. 1 Thessalonians 5:22, avoid all type of sin, because sin will separate us from God. Romans 3:23, we have all sinned. All have sinned. Romans 6, 1 and 2 and 12 and 13, don't let sin reign. Don't let sin be our master. Our goal is for God to be our master. Our goal is to love God. He loves us. We feel that love. We see that love everywhere. We love him. We want to make him happy, so we obey him. 1 John 1, 8, 9, he is faithful and just and will forgive us. If we admit our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us. And that's part of that growing process. That's part of growing your faith. I have faith that God will forgive me whenever I slip up. If I admit those sins to him, if I admit them to myself as well, then I will grow. And if I use the knowledge that's in this book to help me with those things, then my faith will grow. My love for God will grow. And next week, when I've messed up again, and he's forgiven me again, and I've learned something from it, God wants us, He didn't want Sally just running around wanting something all the time. He wants us to be thinking. He wants us to learn. When we learn next week from our sins, we go through a storm, we see God's providence in that, we see God help us get through that, we learn the lesson that God's more than likely trying to give us, we're going to love God more, and our faith is going to grow. And it's going to build our trust, and it's going to build our courage, and it's going to dispel our fears. Yes, sir.
Abraham, you talked about Abraham before, but he's a good example of what you're talking about right now. He's in Hebrews chapter 11 twice, one for going and leaving his country to a place that he didn't know, and again for offering Isaac. And you see in the book of Genesis how his faith progressed and how he failed in a couple of areas, and he overcame those things to the point where he was able to offer Isaac. Because God had become his people, like you talked about, because he thought about what God could do at that point. It wasn't what he could do, it was what God could do. And I wonder, I don't think there's a way to know this, but I wonder if Abraham would have been able to offer Isaac at the beginning as opposed to at the end.
Ask him when you get up there.
My favorite example of that is Peter. You know, Peter was one of the first apostles. Peter said, "You are the Christ." Peter said, "Lord, I will not forsake you." And before the night was over and the rooster crowed, he had forsaken him three times. That might have put me under. I might not have had the strength to return from that. But in Acts 2, Peter preaches the first gospel sermon. We can recover from our sin. God gives us the tools. He gives us the tools to help us build our faith, build our love, want to be like Him, and build our trust, build our courage, dispel our fears. I told y'all, David said, what are you going to talk about on faith for more than two lessons? I told him, I'm just going to keep repeating what I tell you the first lesson. But this is, in 3 weeks, we'll be at the end of this semester. And my plan is to kind of go back and have a review. And when I put the tablet back up here, and I ask, what does faith mean to you? I hope that y'all can tell me things like it's actionable. I hope you can tell me that it's things like love. That it's not just obey. It's not just trust or belief. But what that actually does to you, how that affects you and affects your life and your relationship with God. We are a couple of minutes being out of time. The kids will be in. Thank you for your input. Thank you for your comments. And Lord willing, we'll talk about this again next week.